God bless you. It is a very special privilege for me to be here today. And our brothers who spoke have actually already said what I was about to say, even to the beloved brother who made mention about what happened in 1976. All who are acquainted with the message of the hour know that the expectation was that 1977 will be the end and the millennium would be ushered in. That is a statement found in the Church Age book on page 325, but that statement never came from the lips of William Branham. William Branham made 17 statements about 1977, but never said that 1977 would be the end. In fact, he said, I could miss it a year or 20 years or 100 years. So I want you to understand that everybody in the message believed the statement in the Church Age book that 1977 would be the end. And it was in July 1976 when the Lord, with an audible voice, with a tremendous, all-penetrating audible voice, the sun was just setting, and the Lord commanded me to buy the adjacent piece of land and to build upon it, for people from many nations will come to hear the word of God and they need a place to stay. So all the brothers in America were against me because I did not respect what they believed that 1977 would be the end. But anyway, just coming to what we have to say here today, I appreciate all of you coming. And there are three brothers in this area. Our beloved brother Smith, we are on a regular basis in fellowship. Our brother Bruce, we are on regular basis on with fellowship. Our brother Thomas Hilton, in regular fellowship, and whether we send emails or whether there are phone calls, but we are in a regular fellowship with one another. And of course, all the many others are joining us in the messages, receiving the circular letters and also the DVDs to have part in what God is doing right now. And only for your information, it was also stated about my flight to India. And friends, I had just brought the ticket from the ticket office and returned to my office and sat down. And just then, as you hear my voice, my servant canceled your trip to India. And I'm a man. I must keep my word. If I cannot keep my word, I die. I must keep my word. That's my nature. And so I went out to pray, returned to the office. It might have been a quarter past 11 that morning. I just sat down again on the same chair with mighty force, stronger than the first time, commanding, "My servant, cancel your trip to India." To make it short, I was booked on the flight from Bombay to Madras, and when the flight took off, 96 passengers died in the flames. But my time had not yet come to be with the Lord. My time was still to serve Him and to share His precious word with God's people around the earth. Our beloved brother also mentioned January 1981, when I really died with malaria, malaria tropica. Nothing could be done, and the doctors, the whole doctor team, pushed me into a room and said, "Sir, it's nothing that we can do. No blood transfusion, nothing." And I knew I was going. And I wanted to say these words, "Dear Lord, I'm coming to you now, but please, how do I stand? How do I appear in your presence?" And the next moment, I was taken out of this body and saw the rapture, saw and experienced the rapture. It was one of the glorious experiences the Lord gave me. And when I looked to my right in that vision, there was a white-dressed multitude, and all were young, 17, 18, all were young. Brothers and sisters were going up and going up majestically. And then something very, very special happened. When I looked up, while going up, I looked up, and there came the holy city, the new Jerusalem, for us to enter that holy place. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm not here to speak about these wonderful experiences the Lord gave me, even April the 2nd, 62, just before sunrise, when I heard the voice of the Lord for the first time. You cannot imagine what it does to a person. Even if I think about it now, it still goes through all my bones. When the Lord said, "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word." The next moment, I was flat on the carpet because the voice came from up, but from the right I fell to my left. And beloved, I cannot go into all these details, but because I knew Brother Branham, I knew Brother Branham for exactly 10 years, from 1955 to 1965. I was in his meetings in Germany, in his meetings in America, had tea in his home, drove with him in the same car, recognizing him from the first day, from the first meeting in August 1955, that he is a man sent from God. I had no knowledge of message, but that much I knew. What my eyes have seen, service after service in the prayer lines, the blind, born blind, received their sight, cripples took their bed and went out. Everything that our Lord had done in his ministry, I have seen repeating in the ministry of Brother Branham, even to the fact, and Brother Branham referred many times to it, like in Genesis chapter 18, when the Lord came and spoke to Abraham and gave him the promise, that Isaac would be born, saying, in a year from now, I'm coming back, and your wife, Sarah, will have the son. And Abraham believed and saw the promise fulfilled. But Sarah was in the tent behind the Lord and laughed in her heart. And the Lord looked into Abraham's face, saying, why did Sarah laugh? And Brother Branham referred to this. And you know what he did in one service? He turned his back to the congregation. Just like this. And then God revealed to him, he said, the sister sitting there and there, dressed like this and like this, she has come from city so-and-so. I tell you, I have seen Bible days. I've seen the reality of the ministry God gave in our day. I can say like the Apostle Peter and also the Apostle John, what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard from the word of life that we share with you. So I want you to understand that by the grace of God, I have had a direct part with Brother Branham in the ministry. In 1958, on June the 12th, 1958, after Brother Branham explained his ministry and his commission to me, he said in Dallas, Texas, Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message. Beloved brothers and sisters, these eyes were the last ones to see Brother Branham in the coffin. I did not only know him while he was alive, and one of the most important experiences was this. On Monday the 3rd, 1962, because the Lord had also said to me, store in food, for a great famine is coming, and then thou shalt stand in the midst of the people to give out the food. But no famine came. But there was such a desperation coming upon me. I said, Lord, I cannot preach anymore. I cannot live anymore. You said a famine will be coming. We have stored in food and no famine came. I said, dear Lord, I cannot live. I cannot preach. And suddenly the thought came, why don't you take a flight and see Brother Branham? And beloved, that was also one of the very, very important days for my spiritual life. Brother Branham just asked me, how is Brother so-and-so in Switzerland and Brother so-and-so in Germany? And patience left me. I just said, Brother Branham, I came to ask you something. And just then he was sitting opposite me. He was sitting Fred Softman. He was sitting Banks Woods. And he just reached his hand over like this and said, Brother Frank, may I tell you what the Lord has spoken to you? In the English language, he repeated word for word what the Lord has spoken to me in the German language. And then he even made the statement, Brother Frank, you misunderstood. You thought there would be a natural famine and you stored in natural food. But God will send a famine to hear his words. And the food you to put in store is the promised word of God for this day. For this day. So, brothers and sisters, these things might not mean much to you, but they mean very, very much to me. Because the Lord has given directions within the years. And so we look back. We look back to what God has done, and we take part in what God is doing right now. And we understand this is the most important time in the history of the New Testament church. And therefore, we must recognize the day, the message, the promises of God for our day. There are actually many, many scriptures that I usually refer to and read from the Word of God. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word remains forever. But just for your information, as some of the brothers were asking me, after I visited Brother Green and preached in his church in Tucson, Arizona, he wrote to me. And I just read the last four lines. Your visit brought joy to my heart, and I would desire to assist you whenever it is possible. Please pray for me. There are many directions for myself to take at these times. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And then ending with a statement, Brother Frank, please continue to be faithful to your commission that I personally believe to be true. And just in the last few telephone calls we had, this my beloved friend, Brother Peregrine, a number of times repeated and said, Brother Frank, I believe that your commission is just as true as the commission the Apostle Paul received on his way to Damascus. And you can understand, beloved, the responsibility. Maybe you will never imagine how I feel because of that divine call. I'm not a prophet, but I do have a direct call confirmed by the Lord and also by William Branham. And as I said before, even when I was preaching in Damascus, you know, I preached in Cairo, I preached in Damascus, I preached in all these countries. And then the brother said, we'd like to take you to the road where the Apostle Paul came to Damascus. I said, beloved brothers, you don't need to take me to that road. I'm here to tell you that I had the same experience. And so we understand from the Word of God that callings, commissions, God cannot take back. God never did a mistake. I'm just a man. I made mistakes. But God's word remains forever. And we carry the word of God. As also one of the brothers was mentioning. On June the 11th, 1933, when Brother Branham was about to baptize the 17th person, he heard a voice saying, look up. And you heard the voice saying the second time, look up. And when he looked up, there was that supernatural light just descending, visible for over 4,000 people. And from that supernatural light came the tremendous voice as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. You are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. So many have changed it and have published in their books that William Branham was told that you will forerun the second coming of Christ, and there make a period and say that was the end of it. So nobody has a right to claim to have a divine commission or to carry the message. But that was a great mistake, And it was done purposely. It was done purposely. They changed what the Lord had said into what they believed, and they have given it in writing. And saying, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. That's very, very critical, and I say this in the name of the Lord. Who has the right to change what came from the voice of the Lord? But they did it, and therefore they believe that Brother Frank has no right to claim to have a commission, because everything finished with Brother Branham. But the Lord took his servant, but his message is reaching the ends of the earth. When Brother Branham made his 7 trips around the earth into different countries, he visited exactly 12 countries. Exactly 12 countries. But now the message has reached the ends of the earth. Not only Russia, China, Mongolia, all the countries. And we now serve God's people in 172 countries, sharing with them the true word of God for this day, informing them about the things God has done, but also about God, of what God is doing right now. So please, I share with you now a few scriptures. The main promise our Lord made is, I go to prepare the place, and I will return, and I will take you to be where I am. That is the main promise. And please believe the promises of God. Believe the promises of God. First, God made promises. And when the time comes, he fulfills what he promised. When he promised to Abraham, after 400 years, I will bring your people out of the strange land. When the 400 years had come and gone, the Lord God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I remember my promise. I've seen the affliction of the people. I've come to take them out, and I'm sending you, and I will be with you. So whenever God makes a promise, he watches over his word to fulfill that promise. Even when you go to the Old and New Testament, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, there's a promise. Behold, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight a way for our God, was a promise. Malachi 3 was a promise. I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. And when the time was fulfilled, the angel Gabriel came down from heaven, standing at the right hand of the altar in the temple, speaking to Zacharias and giving the promise to him, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, call his name John, for he is the one who will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the ways of the Lord. Beloved, when God makes history on earth, our time has come to take part in what God is doing. So, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, John the Baptist prepared the people for the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So there was a promise connected to his ministry. And all the hearts of those who believed were prepared. And on the day of Pentecost, there were thousands gathered for the moment when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would take place, and 3,000 were baptized on the same day. So I want you to understand the second part. Now, before the return of Christ, there is the second promise in Malachi chapter 4. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So you must read Isaiah chapter 13 from verse 6. You must read Joel chapter 2. You must read in Habakkuk. You must read in the Old and the New Testament, right to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, and even to Acts chapter 2 verse 20. When the Apostle Peter referred to that promise in his first sermon, making the statement, repeating the statement of Joel chapter 2, verse 31, sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day of the Lord comes. Acts 2, verse 20. Imagine for one moment, in the first sermon, under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter preached what I must preach today. Sun will turn into darkness, the moon into blood. But before that takes place, God kept his promise. God kept his promise. I will send you Elijah the prophet before sun turns into darkness, before the great day of the Lord comes. So at the end of the time of grace, our Lord kept his promise and sent a prophet. Why did he say Elijah? Why did he say Elijah? And just for your information, in the New Testament, our Lord confirmed the promise from the Old Testament in Matthew 17, verse 11. The disciples in verse 10 were asking, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And then our Lord in the New Testament, after the ministry of John the Baptist was finished, making the statement, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. This is so very important. You must always find the key word in a promise. When you read about John the Baptist, always the word prepare is being used. Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 3 verse 1, Matthew chapter 11 verse 10, Mark chapter 1:1-3, prepare, Luke chapter 1 verse 17, Luke chapter 1 verse 76, always prepare. But the ministry that happened in our time was to restore. I will send you Elijah the prophet to restore all things. So, beloved, there are a number of scriptures I should read with you. We are brought back to the original foundation. We are brought back to the original apostolic teaching, to the original apostolic baptism, to the original apostolic Lord's Supper. We're brought back to where the New Testament church was at the very beginning. And now the restoration is taking place. For instance, in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was writing, I laid the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, I laid the foundation. No other foundation can be laid except the one that's laid already. And Jesus Christ is this foundation. And the New Testament church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So please, as my time is so limited, please understand the key word is restore. When you look at the people of Israel, when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, they returned to Jerusalem and they found the original foundation. And they built the second temple on the original foundation laid in the days of Solomon. Beloved, if we are called out of all Babylonian captivities at this time, we must return to the original foundation, to the original teachings, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so, by the grace of God, Brother Branham had a restored apostolic prophetic ministry. And the message of restoration is connected with a direct restoration that the bride will receive before the Lord, the bridegroom, returns. Even there, Brother Branham said, in the last part, the former and the latter rain will fall together, and the Lord will do mighty things, just at the last phase, before the return of our Lord and Savior. But now is the time to return from all unbelief, from everything. On my way from Johannesburg to Cape Town, I listened to a wonderful sermon of Brother Branham. I always have the iPod with me, and I listened to the sermon preached on January the 18th, 1965, Seed of Discrepancy. And Brother Branham goes back to the Garden of Eden. He shows how God's original word was misconstrued by the serpent, taking Eve's attention and then putting doubts. And then Brother Branham, in other sermons, five times in a row said the original sin was unbelief. Unbelief. Because Satan puts a doubt behind what God said, and only then he can give his interpretation. And it's a completely different seed. And Cain was the result of that seed the serpent sowed, not only in words, but also in the flesh and in reality. So Brother Branham used the scripture in Matthew chapter 13, reading that scripture. The good sower was sowing, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And then the enemy came and sowed his seed. And Brother Branham calls it the seed of discrepancy, the seed which is not according to the word of God. And I should read to you the three scriptures that I noted about the seed of God. I read to you very quickly from Psalms 22. And please understand, God's seed is the original seed. First, it is the word which is sown into our hearts. But when the Spirit of God comes upon the word, we are born again. The seed comes forth. And I read to you in Psalms 22. It says here in verse 30, and a seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to him, or to the Lord, for a generation. a seed shall serve him. In Psalms 89, we read in verse 20, 26, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I would take him, the firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And now comes verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. His seed I will make to endure forever. And then you go to the main chapter in Isaiah chapter 53, where our Lord is shown on the cross, dying for us. It says here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. Maybe we should read 10 also. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. He shall see his seed. His seed. How many scriptures could we read right up to Galatians chapter 4, verse 28? Ye brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are the seed of God at this time. First, the seed is the word. And the moment you receive that word promised to you, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the promise becomes a reality. So it was in the time of our Lord. He was the word. And the Greek says logos. The Hebrew word is a little more precise, dabar. In Hebrew, it says dabar. And dabar is not only a word. Dabar is somebody speaking. Somebody speaking, dabar, speaking. So before there could be a word, there was this one who spoke all things into existence. He was both who spoke, and he was the word right from the beginning. So we understand first God makes promises, and then the time of fulfillment comes. So to summarize, what we have to say here today is this. Now, before the return of Christ, and our beloved brother read from 1 John chapter 3. Let me just read from John chapter 2. From John chapter 2, where it specifically says about the return of our Lord, and that we should be ready to meet him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Beloved, there are quite many misunderstandings in the message of the hour, and the misunderstandings come because brethren don't go back to the word of God. They put the Bible aside and then refer and say the prophet said, the prophet said. But they don't tell you what he said before the statement and what he said after the statement. They just pick out of context the various statements and build up their own teachings. I want you to understand this. Because of the divine responsibility, I also translated all the sermons of Brother Branham into the German language. I know the sermons in and out. If you translate, you cannot skip a single line. You just have to translate every line. And therefore, especially for the ministering brethren, even when it comes to seven trumpets or to seventh seal or to seven thunders, you must hear precisely what Brother Branham said. And not only on December the 30th, 62, not only in March 1963, you must also read what he said in August 1964. When a brother came to him and asked and said, Brother Branham, when the seven thunders will be revealed, will it not be some special revelation given to some man? And Brother Branham said, just a moment, please. God cannot add anything to his word. It must be within the word of God. And then he even made the statement, that's what the seven seals were all about, was the seven thunders. But what the brothers don't know is this. And I was together with Brother Branham just before the opening of the seals. Brother Branham asked me in person to preach in his stead in Los Angeles in the Clifton's cafeteria, a meeting arranged by Demas Shikarian for the full gospel businessmen. And Brother Branham said, Brother Frank, I cannot go. Please go and preach for me. I must pack because I must move with my family to Tucson. And so he told me about the vision the Lord had shown him, about the supernatural cloud coming down and the seven angels in the form of the pyramid. And he said the seventh angel meant more to him than the other six. And the seventh angel in that constellation of the pyramid was the one speaking to Brother Branham, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. So, beloved brothers, especially ministering brothers, it is so very, very important to go back to the Word of God. And then even, for your information, when Brother Branham read and referred to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, he always used it in the plural, not once in the singular, always in the plural. Mysteries, not mystery, but mysteries. But what had actually happened? When Brother Branham saw that vision and was moved to Tucson, he had to go to Sunset Mountain. And just there, it was not only a big earthquake in the whole area, but seven mighty thunderclaps accompanied that great earthquake. And that was the moment when the seven thunderclaps were heard by Brother Branham, that he looked up, and only then he saw the supernatural cloud and the angels in this constellation. And because of these seven thunderclaps, he always referred to seven thunders, seven thunders. And on March the 24th, 1963, Brother Branham knocked seven times on the pulpit and said the thunders were so great, so mighty, and this rapturing phrase in these seven thunders, because of that tremendous supernatural experience he had when he went to Sunset Mountain. And these eyes these eyes have seen, confirmed what Brother Branham said. He made the statement, the trees, the top of the trees were chopped, and the rocks, they were moving down the mountains. Brother Reverend Peregrine took us as ministers to Sunset Mountain, and we could see all the rocks that had come down the mountain when this great experience happened. So brothers and sisters, I'm not a storyteller, but my eyes have seen. I even went to Washington. I went into Washington when I heard Brother Branham say that this picture with a supernatural light over him hangs in Washington, D.C. You know what Brother Frank did? I took a flight to Washington. I wanted to have it confirmed. I never forget that day. It was also a December 18th. And I was almost giving up. And then comes a nice gentleman, and I ask him, "Dear sir, can you tell me where the Hall of Art is?" And he said, "Sir, you just need to enter this place." So I went into that place. An elderly gentleman took and brought me that picture. I held that picture in my hands in Washington, D.C. So I'm an eyewitness. This man of God, William Branham, was the mightiest prophet ever walking on the face of the earth. The supernatural experiences he had, the Apostle Paul did not have. The Apostle Peter did not have. And to his ministry, the greatest purpose is being connected. The calling out of the bride. The preparation of the bride. The restoration of the bride. All these things are connected to that great message which does forerun the second coming of Christ. So Brother Branham had to bring back the true teachings about the Godhead. And this is so very important. As you all know, in the year 325 in Nicaea, they gave the dogma that God exists in three persons, and they made the statement that the Father has begotten the Son in eternity, and therefore the Son is also eternal. They made this statement. But this is a direct antichrist statement. The Holy Scripture, especially in John, it says, if you confess not that Jesus is the Christ, and if you go to Luke chapter 2, verse 11, today Christ the Lord is born in the city of David. The Son was not born in heaven. In all the Old Testament, he was the Lord, the great I Am, the first and the last. But then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we understand why Brother Branham was sent to bring us back to the Bible teaching in the year 386. They declared the Holy Spirit to be the third person in the Godhead, saying the Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, and the Holy Ghost is eternal. But that's not true. There's only one eternal. And this one eternal revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on earth, to place us back as sons and daughters of God by redemption into our original position with Christ, and Christ being the firstborn among many brothers. So we must understand why God has sent a prophet to restore us back to the true Bible teaching, to the true God who revealed himself from the beginning of time. We cannot go into all these details, but even up to now, we only pray our Father who art in heaven. Nobody prays our Son who art in heaven, or our Holy Ghost who art in heaven. Beloved, it is so important to come back to the true Bible teachings. That is why the prophet was sent, to restore us, to restore us in teaching, but also in life and in practice. The same applies to water baptism. They made a formula out of Matthew 28. And for the first time, this formula was used was in the year 337. When Constantine was dying, laying on his deathbed, he called a bishop by the name Eusebius. And this bishop Eusebius brought a little vessel with water and poured 3 drops on the head of Constantine in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And since that time, the church in the Roman Empire took that formula to be their own baptism. And they will condemn you if you baptize in any other way. But that's totally wrong. Not one time was the formula used in Bible days. Not one time. Not one time. Because when our Lord gave the Great Commission, he said, baptizing them into the name. Father is not a name. I'm a father because I have 2 sons and 2 daughters. But that's not my name. You're a father. You're a son. You're a teacher. You can be many things, but that is not your name. So what is the name in which God revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. And all we do in works or deeds, we all do it in the precious and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, for your information, in the Hebrew language, the name of our Savior is Yahshua. Yahshua. And throughout the Old Testament, our Lord's name was Yahweh. Yahweh. And Yahweh became Yahshua. The word Shua means save, to save. So the Lord himself became our Savior. And that's why our Lord could say in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am. He was, is, and shall come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and forever. But this divine revelations were given to Brother Branham to restore us back, to come out from all confusion, and to be restored to where the true believers were at the very beginning. So please, remember the key word. I will send you Elijah the prophet to restore all things. The first sermon I heard Brother Branham preach in August 1955, he read Joel chapter 2, verse 25. The Lord saying, I will restore unto you all these years. I will restore. So this is God's time of restoration. And the next part is that we don't put any private interpretation to the Word of God. And beloved, in this connection, I have to mention an experience of February 1982. I was preaching in France in the city of Marseille, and a group of brethren from Armenia. How many knows where Armenia is? I preached in Yerevan, the capital of Armenia, many years ago. And this group of brethren came to France And after a service, they approached me, asking me about the seven thunders of Revelation 10. And I just had to say, beloved brothers, I don't know. I simply don't know. I said good night. I went to the first floor, into my room. But the next morning, and I still have the same watch today, still the same watch today, when this tremendous experience was over, it was 5 to 5 in the morning. The next morning, the Lord woke me with a tremendous voice, "My servant, rise and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. I jumped up. I took my Bible. It was just a small pulpit, a small desk, and read verse 1 to 5. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. And in verse 2, preach the word. It be in time or out of time, rebuke and reprove, for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but heap to themselves the various teachers, having itching ears." And brothers and sisters, when I read verse 2 for the second time, preach the word, it be in time or out of time, I laid my Bible down and my hands went into the air. And I said, "Dear Lord, as certain as you commanded me to read this scripture, I know what the seven thunders uttered was not written in the Word of God, did not become part of the written Word of God, and therefore we can never preach it." And then the Lord led me directly to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. There we have the admonition to just read. Let me read it to you, what it says here. In Revelation chapter 1, it says directly in the first three verses, I only read verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand." And keep those things which are written in it. I'm asking all ministering brethren, do you respect what the voice said from heaven? Seal what the seven thunders uttered and write it not. I respect it. I have to respect, and I do it with all my heart. I respect what the voice said to John. Seal what the seven thunders uttered and write it not. I respect the word of God. Everything God wanted us to know is written. You cannot add one single thing. And as I referred to just a little earlier, when Brother Branham spoke about seven thunders and about Revelation 10:7, he always used it in the plural. Why? Because he was the seventh church age messenger. And through his ministry, all the mysteries from Genesis to Revelation were made known to us. Not one mystery, all the mysteries. And Brother Branham makes the statement many times that all the mysteries were fulfilled. And I believe the ministry of Brother Branham is complete, and everything God wanted us to know, we do know in the messages, and we respect it. Just as it was in the days of Moses, after the Lord had spoken and the word was written, it was placed into the Ark of the Covenant. And after it was placed into the Ark of the Covenant, nobody could add, nobody could take away. And Joshua placed the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of the priests and Levites to cross the Jordan, to go into the Promised Land. And this is also very important, beloved brothers and sisters. The Word of God, the message of God, is complete. You cannot add one thing. You cannot change one thing. Leave everything the way it is. Just before I left Germany, there was an email that they found a fifth man who is the fifth trumpet angel, or the fifth man, according to Revelation 10, to bring a special message. No. The seven church age messengers gave their message. William Branham was the last one. As I will say again and again, please respect the Word of God. When the voice came from heaven, don't write it. Please respect it and leave it in the hands of God. God will do all things. William Branham did what he was called to do. I do what I was called to do. You do, brothers, what you were called to do. And let God do the rest. The Lord himself finished his work of creation, and the Lord himself will finish his work of redemption. And also, just for your information, when Donny Babblitz in 1976 came to me in Edmonton, Canada, at that time I'd already visited over 70 nations. And I gave the contact, all the addresses from all over the earth, I gave to the USA so that the booklets would be sent out, that everybody all over the earth could read what Brother Branham said. And then this gentleman, the brother from Whitehorse in Canada, he came to Edmonton on that Saturday morning. And he said, Brother Frank, your ministry is a worldwide ministry. Should it not be in the Bible? And said, Brother, stop it. Please stop it. And then he continued and said, yeah, Brother Branham's ministry is in the Bible. Your ministry should be in the Bible. I said, please stop it. Don't be a fanatic, please. And so we continued on other subjects. But the next morning, this was a Saturday morning between 10 and 11. And the next morning, a Sunday morning, the sun was already shining into the room. I was fully dressed, was sitting at the edge of the bed, reaching over to get my Bible to read. It just then happened. My servant, I called you according to Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 47, to give out the spiritual food in due season. These words I heard with these ears. And if you go back to Brother Branham, he was told to store in the food. He was forbidden to make the trip to Zurich, Switzerland. He said, the angel of the Lord said, don't go to Zurich, Switzerland for that one meeting. Return to Jeffersonville. Store in the food. But where was Brother Branham told to give out the food? He was only told to store in the food. And I was told to store in the food. And Brother Branham was the one who said, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food. And to make it very brief, on the same day, as I said before, these eyes were the last ones to see Brother Branham in the coffin. because I came from Germany. I went to the Kurz funeral home. I talked to the man. I said, I want to make sure that William Branham is in the coffin. So he led me up the wooden stairs. And there was only one very small room with a tinted roof. And I looked at Brother Branham. His head was to my right. His feet were to my left. There was no scratch on him. Just fresh and young. I was surprised. I thought maybe there was from the accident some type of injury. Nothing at all. Just fresh and almost smiling. But then the next day was the funeral. And you can believe this, I wept. I never sang the choruses, never sang Only Believe, never sang On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. I just wept. In all my life up to that day, I never wept as much as I wept in these 2 hours on the cemetery. They were expecting Brother Branham to rise. That was the information I received when I came to the funeral. And the dear brother said, you know why we're here for? I said, yes, we're here for the funeral. He said, no, sir. We're not here for the funeral. We're here for the resurrection. And you can understand how disappointed all the brothers were, because the resurrection did not take place. Everybody from New York or from anywhere had left. All were disappointed. But on the same day, April the 11th, 1966, when I returned to my hotel room, no more tears, just a joy, overwhelming joy. This time it spoke in my heart. Now your time has come to give out the food that was put in store. Now your time has come to take and to preach the word from city to city. So when I returned to Germany, but before I returned, I called the brothers together. Brother Lee Vail was, Brother Borders, a few brothers were there. At that time, not a single sermon of William Branham was printed. Not a single sermon was printed in April 1966. It was Brother Frank who called the brothers together and said, brethren, the sermons must be translated into different languages. We need them on print and in print. 3 brochures were the Church Age book, Laodicean Church Age, and the next one, which was it? There were 3 brochures, but all written by Brother Lee Vail, not by William Branham. So it was God using Brother Frank after the ministry of Brother Branham to share the message, to spread the message right to the ends of the earth. Let me say this in finishing. There were so many scriptures that I wanted to share with you. Even 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 16, where the apostle was writing about the coming of the Lord. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the coming of the Lord, but we have the more sure word of prophecy, whereupon you look as on a light that shines in a dark place, and no Bible prophecy is of any private interpretation. And how many times did Brother Branham say, God is his own interpreter, by letting come to pass what he promised. So every promise God made is connected to reality. The birth of our Savior was a reality. His ministry was a reality. His suffering was a reality. His death was a reality. His going to hell was a reality. His raising from the dead was a reality. His spending 40 days with the disciples was a reality. His going to heaven was a reality. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, we read, the same Jesus that was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him going up into heaven. Some brothers believe the Lord has already come. Some believe Revelation 10 is already fulfilled. Some believe Brother Branham will rise from the dead. Some believe in a tent ministry. Some believe. I'm asking you today in the name of the Lord, don't believe anything except the written word of God. And be sanctified in this word of God. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is the truth. And as we were reminded to read all the words of the prophecy of this book, how could I show to you when Revelation 10 will be fulfilled? Our Lord comes down as the angel of the covenant. For the bride, he is the bridegroom. And you even must make a distinction between Luke 17, when the Son of Man will be revealed, and when the Son of Man will come. He revealed himself in the ministry of his servant and prophet. But when he will come, two will be on one bed. One will be taken. One will be left. Two will be in the same field. You know the scriptures. One will be taken. One will be left. And his coming will be like the lightning goes from the east to the west. So will the coming of the Lord be. So please, ministering brethren, place everything according to the plan of salvation. To understand where, for instance, Matthew 25 will be fulfilled when the Lord, a Son of Man, will come and sit upon his throne and judge the nations. When he will come according to Revelation chapter 1, when every eye shall see him. We are waiting for him as bridegroom, because that is the last message, Matthew 25. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So this is calling out time. And before you can go in, you must come out. And please understand this in the correct way. Under the ministry of Moses, the people came out. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The coming out has taken place. But in the days of Joshua, the going in to the promised land has taken place. And the Lord made the promise, wherever your feet will step, that is what I've given unto you. So, beloved, believe every promise of God. Step on it, take it for yourself, and believe this is God's promise for me personally. One, hopefully the last one, we never know, your lovely congregation, but the last one is so very important. Like if a marriage is announced in your community, only the bride prepares. All the other ladies continue as usual. Only the bride who has the promise waits and prepares for the marriage. So it is now. All churches, also so-called full gospel churches, all we continue in their own ways. Only those who are part of the bride of Christ will hear the call of the bridegroom. They will line up with the promised word of God for today. They will believe with all their heart. They are part in what God is doing right now. And please understand this. We cannot just go in the rapture with the anointing. We must be sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of our redemption. Many are anointed. At the present time, according to statistics, we're 550 million Pentecostal charismatic people living on earth. All are singing, all praise God, all speak about wonders, all speak in tongues, all prophesy, all pray for the sick, all have a wonderful time. But they all remain in their own ways, in their own teachings, in the Babylonian captivity. But the bride of Christ is called out, "Ye my people, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Then I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God." So it's not enough to be anointed. Also there, Brother Branham preached a long sermon, "The Anointed Ones at the End Time." And he referred to Matthew 24:24. "If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived." But let me say this with divine assurance. The elect cannot and never will be deceived. The elect are chosen from before the foundation of the world. If you're elect, you're purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And your name was written into the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the earth. And therefore, you believe the message of the hour. And then the scripture will be fulfilled. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "After you heard and received the word of truth, were sealed by the Spirit a promise." You are sealed. So the sealing is necessary. God must put his seal. And what did Brother Branham say? At the end time, there will be two groups. One will have the mark of the beast. The other, the seal of God. The seal of God. Beloved, believe God. Believe that God sent his prophet, as was promised in the Old Testament and confirmed by our Lord in Matthew 17:11 and in Mark 9:12. "Verily I say unto you, Elijah shall come first to restore all things." Please partake in the restoration. Please partake in the calling out. Please partake in the preparation, because it says in Matthew 25:10, "They that were ready went into the marriage and the door was closed." Are you preparing? Are you making ready? Do you realize that we're not only in the end time, we're just at the very end of the end time? I could show to you many scriptures which are now being fulfilled. We're living in the time when all the Bible prophecies, especially with Israel, are being fulfilled. It's Isaiah 11, where the Lord said, "I will call them the second time." It is Jeremiah 31. It is Ezekiel 36. It's Hosea 6. "After 2 days, I will revive you. In the third day, you shall live in my presence." After 2,000 years, the Lord called his people Israel back into the promised land. And they must be in the promised land to take part when the promise is fulfilled to them, when the two prophets will come according to Revelation 11. They will not go to New York. They will come to Jerusalem. And all who are ordained of God from the 12 tribes will have to be there when the ministry takes place. In the same way, we must be now in the promised word of God to have part in what God is doing now. And beloved, we're so glad. God did not stop with the taking of his prophet. It was just something ordained of God that after the message was fully given to us, the Lord took the messenger and we present the message to all nations. And that is also Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will be. One question to you, beloved brothers and sisters. Are you all converted? Are you all children of God? Have you really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you led by the Holy Spirit? Are you called out? Are you preparing? Are you having part in the restoration? Then I know you will obey God. Are you all baptized according to the scripture in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Make sure, and this is a statement of Brother Branham that shocked me when I heard it at first. He said, every person, regardless of denomination, every person that is baptized in the formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is actually baptized into the Roman Catholic Church. I stopped the tape. I didn't trust my ears. So I went back. I heard it again. I said, oh Lord, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in 1949, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in 1948, I was baptized in a Baptist church in the three titles, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I thought at the first moment, man, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, so you have the confirmation. But you know what I did? I didn't need to pray. I just heard it for the third time. And then I said, dear Lord, I thank you for speaking to me in such a direct way. And I called a few brothers together, and we went to the River Rhine. How many heard about the River Rhine? And so we baptized each other. And after I heard the word of truth, hearing Brother Branham making that statement, I just knew, please find your way quickly to be baptized according to the word of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of you have not yet been baptized in that way. Please obey and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you all the blessings of Almighty God. And I can promise you that I will see you again. And I tell you why. When I dedicated my life to the Lord after returning in 1966 from the funeral, I knew I had to obey the commission, but I had a few things. Under tears, I made a vow in the presence of the Lord. And the last thing in this vow, I said, dear Lord, I will obey the commission. I will go from city to city, from country to country. I will share the word. I will give out the spiritual food. But I have one special request, dear Lord. Let all people who hear your word from my lips and believe you, that I will see them again in glory. Yes, yes. Not believe me, believe the Lord. Believe the word. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God remains forever. I can assure you, in the name of the Lord, if you believe the promise for this day, If you recognize the day and the message, you are ordained to eternal life. Your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. Let nothing shake you. Believe and you shall receive the glory of God. You shall have part in the second coming of Christ. God bless you and be with you in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Let us stand and pray. Let us stand and pray. Beloved, there are so many things I would have loved to share with you. Oh, the Word of God is such a precious word. And as you understand, I'm in the kingdom of God so long. But every time I read in this book, something lights up. You just see it. And you just praise the Lord. You just praise the Lord. It's a living word. It's a revealed word. And also with you, it will not return void, but accomplish. Accomplish here today. 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 And this is the day the Lord has made for you. And the scripture says today. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, but receive it. You have received the word of God. You have believed the word of God. Now we should dedicate our life to the Lord, believing in the full restoration. Same foundation. And Brother Branham said a number of times, the message of the hour is to return to the Word of God, to the beginning, to apostolic days, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as I also said, the final work, God will do himself. He will finish his work of redemption as he finished his work of creation. How many wish to be ready for the rapture? Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I commit the whole congregation and especially all ministering brethren to you. Oh God, this is the day you made for all of us. We believe you. We have part in what you are doing right now. And dear Lord, I'm asking you to give divine revelation to not only believe, but to obey. And may the love of God be poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May we love you, love one another, respect you, respect your word, and remain in the word of God to see the glory of God. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 14, by one sacrifice we were sanctified. So Jesus Christ our Lord, who purchased us on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood, we are redeemed, and he gave us his word. And now I pray that our dear Lord will give you the seal of the Holy Spirit. But please, please pay attention to this statement. The Holy Spirit of truth will never seal any interpretation. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit will only seal what God could do through the blood and through the word in your life. The Holy Spirit will only see what is of God. Therefore, as we refer to the scripture, after you heard and believed the word of truth, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Please never follow a man who comes with strange teachings. Check everything by the Word of God. Don't believe storytellers. Believe those men who are in charge to share the Word of God with you. And the Bible says, he that is sent of God preaches the Word of God. So we pray for all ministering brethren that the Holy Spirit, the true anointing, will rest upon them, and that God's people will stay in the will of God according to the Word of God. Beloved, hear this one more statement. You can only be in the will of God if you are in the Word of God. And heaven and earth shall pass away. Every interpretation will pass away. But the Word of God remains forever. And if you believe that word, the Spirit of truth will seal you for the day of redemption. Believe it now and receive it now by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody says, Amen. 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 Everybody says, Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I trust that it is the last time I'm here. Yes. And I hope you think the same way. Are you? Sure. You may be seated. I wish to thank you for coming. And thank all the brothers who are here. Thank all the brothers who invited, the brothers who prepared. We had wonderful meetings with our two brothers in Malawi and also in Zambia. I was surprised. I think one or two times we had over 1,000 people, and I think one time over 2,000 people. God's people just gathered, and today we are gathered here. May the blessings of Almighty God rest upon you all. And if we don't see again on earth, I'll meet you when the Lord returns. Brother Smith, and yeah, God bless you. And thank you for having us. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you, beloved. God bless you.